Golf Talk America at the Masters is brought to you by PXG. You've never played like this before. Go to pxg.com. Now, Golf Talk America at the Masters.
And hello, everybody. You know the music. You know that it's Masters Week. And if you listen to Golf Talk America, you know that both Frank and I have goose pimples. Just can't believe it there again. Love each and every year that the Masters is played. Thanks for joining us. We do appreciate it. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by our good friend Paul Stankowski, who's got a little Masters history of his own that he can tell us about. Now, of course, playing on the PGA Tour Champions. And the most notable thing is that Stanky, back in the day, you know, quite the player, was actually in the second to last group in the year Tiger, 1997, blew away the field. So he got a very good look of over his shoulder what Tiger was doing to kill everybody in that field. But Paul is right there, kind of got a bird's eye view of it. So we'll talk to Paul here coming up in a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett joins us, normally in the Nashville studios. But Frank, you just love going to Augusta. Being at Augusta, being at the Masters is just a special time for everybody that can go, whether you're media, whether you're fans, certainly as a player. And here we are again, right? Another great year for the 90th Masters.
It is. It's a big time Masters, the 90th, and it'll be the 41st broadcast of our friend Jim Nantz, who's a Nashvillian now. Yeah, Jim, yeah. And so that's going to be interesting too. I'll tell you, it's the weather in Augusta is cool. It's actually was cooler this morning than Nashville, Tennessee. It's going to warm up into the 60s, maybe right at 70 this afternoon between 3 and 4.
But lots of sunshine.
Lots of sunshine. It's going to be beautiful all week in Augusta. And and today's the only really windy day they're predicting. So we'll see what that happens because it's a north-northeast wind. The worst wind you could have over on that golf course.
If you're playing.
If you're not, just go get a pimento cheese sandwich
around,
and a beer.
It could be nicer. It could be nicer if you're walking around or doing a broadcast or anything like that. But if you're playing, although it hasn't affected 106-year-old Jose Marie Olazabal.
106. He's going to appreciate that when
he's in his 37th. And it, you know, it comes out every year where Freddie Couples, one of these guys, Bernhardt, and this year it's Olazabal, is 2-under on the leaderboard. And of course, early on, right now going on as we're coming to you on this Thursday, opening round of the Masters. But Olazabal, through 6 holes, is 2-under. He birdied 2. He birdied 3. A few pars after that. Doing great. Kitayama is behind him at 1-under par. Nobody else under par. That's out on the course right now. So, again, a lot of leaders. Knapp is just getting out. And we've got let's take a look at the guys that are about to tee off that are, you know, Angel Cabrera has played pretty well as well at an older age, if you will. Sam Burns and Jake Knapp out. Keegan Bradley just teeing off. So some of the guys that you might see come climb up the leaderboard. Xander Schauffele in another hour or so. Bryson DeChambeau playing with Matt Fitzpatrick and Xander Schauffele. Those kind of guys are starting to go. And then at the very end of the day, you look at the tee times at the very, very end, you've got some serious, serious talent because Scottie Scheffler, second to last group, almost at 1 o'clock Central Time, along with Robert McIntyre, Gary Woodland. Right before him is Justin Thomas, Sepp Straka. Right before that, Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose. So some really good talent playing later in the afternoon, several hours away. So we'll see. You're talking about the winds and the dryness, Frank. They're saying it could get crispy. As early as they say that happens, you know, often on the weekends, it could happen as early as this afternoon where those greens start tilting it at about 14 on a step meter, which is lightning fast.
Well, as you said, the players that are going off around 1, 12, 1, 2, that will be probably in the height of the winds, 12 to 15 sustained 25 mile per hour gusts. So that's going to be tough, especially on those fast greens. And again, it's blowing north northeast. So it's coming. It's just beating you up on 85% of the holes. It's forcing you to play the hole differently than you would normally play it. So it's going to be the fight between the gods of the wind. What is that, Mariah in that movie? They call the wind Mariah? Yeah.
There you go. Well, could be.
So Mariah versus the field.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. It's going to be. It's a great Masters.
Always
again,
is, right?
the 90th and And again, the 41st year for our buddy Nance to be broadcasting. And this morning, I wasn't on the course to see it. I watched it on TV, but the ceremonial start of Gary Player at 90, Jack at what, 86, I believe?
Six, I think 86.
And then Tom Watson at 76. Yeah. Gary looked great. Watson always, looked okay. Always and boy, Jack did not.
Jack struggles.
Struggled. He couldn't bend over to put the tee in the ground, had his son do it. And it was sad to see that. And then, of course, he hits it 3 feet off the flight deck and dead left quacker.
Yeah.
So it was. So Jack doesn't
even play anymore.
He doesn't play.
Is what it is, you know. And he's got a lot of arthritis, and you can only imagine if you have any touch of that. To imagine having it for the last 30 years like he has, it kind of grips him. He just can't really has very little maneuverability. Yeah. And the contrast is a guy who's even older is Gary Player, who's very, very limber. Yeah. And does his push-ups and sit-ups on the tee box
You played golf with him, I think. Didn't he owe you some money from a shot you made? Almost made a hole-in-one.
Well, he said he was going to give me his wallet if I got a hole-in-one on a particular hole, and I'll be darned if the clutch Matthews came through on this one. I hit it 2 feet from the pin. But it was rolling right at the hole, and he was laughing and thought he had it as we pulled his wallet out, like he's going to pay me. And he didn't. So he didn't have to. Well, yeah, but I got a birdie out of it. So
Speaking of that, and we can't go too long because we got to bring a friend Paul in. But
yeah,
and we'll talk about the par three a little bit later. But there were some, not as many as has been in the past, hole in ones. But it was pretty exciting during that par three yesterday, and heartwarming watching Shane Lowry's daughter, I guess it is.
Yeah.
And Frankie Fleetwood. They're big buddies. I mean,
apparently they're dating now. That's what they're saying. Yeah, TMZ.
No. Yeah, that sounds like TMZ. Yeah.
Because what, they're both like 9 or 10 or something like that?
But Frankie Fleetwood is he's going to be a rock star. His mannerisms, cute kid.
And he was so sweet.
Pattern.
I mean, my wife was even watching when they interviewed him afterwards because they both tried to hit shots with drivers right on the par threes to try to get it over the water. Couldn't quite get there.
Yeah.
And he's so soft-spoken. Yeah. It's like they're trying to get the mic in front of his mouth, and he's like, well, I like playing, and I hit somebody.
Just like his dad. I mean,
his dad was kind of hovering over him, kind of going like, "Dad, talk a little louder, like dad to do. Speak up a little bit."
Well, if I had Laura Rutledge standing in front of me like that,
you'd be
beautiful. As beautiful as she is.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to say anything.
I only watch Marty and McGee just so I can see her in SEC Nation, every week during SEC football season. Anyway, the Masters is the Masters is the Masters, and I wouldn't miss it for a million bucks. I just wouldn't do it. I love
it. It's so special. And to that point, we're going to take a quick break. As we said, Paul Stankowski going to join us and give us a little update on what he's doing, but also give us some insight into the Masters and the strategy involved, because everybody talks about, this is a unique tournament in that, and I think I saw recently that of a survey of PGA Tour players, something like 90% said this is the tournament they want to win. And of any major, this is the one. Everybody wants to win any major, but this is the one they all want. And it's unique because it's always at the same course. And so you kind of think, well, the guys would get it down, get it figured out. That, I think, is part of the genius of Bobby Jones and McAllister putting this course together, is that while it's the same course every year versus the British Open, US Open, that always moves around, these guys still find unique shots. And boy, I haven't been here before, or that lie is hanging off. I got to go right. Everything's still a bit unique about this. I'm sure Jose Marie would say after 37 years, he still hasn't quite figured it out. So that's what's kind of neat about it. But Paul will give us a little bit of insight too. And the strategy, he finished 3 under that year in 97. I believe only about 15 shots behind Tiger. He was right there.
He was very close to Tiger during the entire tournament. We'll get into that. But he was extremely close.
Yeah, so that was cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and Frank and I will come back with Paul Stankowski talking Masters when we return to Golf Talk America. Stay right where you are. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews, Frank Bassett, talking everything Masters related. This is the 90th Masters coming to you. As you're listening to this, I don't know when that would be, but as we're broadcasting, it's just the early start of Thursday's first round at the Masters at Augusta. Beautiful weather, a little bit windy, and the winds will kick up a little bit more, but sunshine expected all week, no rain in the forecast. And what that means is it certainly won't delay anything, and there won't be the put-offs of the players having to come back and forth with any kind of rain delay, but it also means it could dry out the course quite a bit and make those normally very, very fast greens almost impossible to putt. Certainly not for these guys, but for the regular person. So just kind of imagine that as we get towards the weekend. Join us now is our good friend Paul Stankowski, a member of the PGA Tour Champions Tour and playing extremely well there. We'll talk to him about that. But in the meantime, get into a little bit of his Masters history because Paul has some very nice history going at Augusta, Georgia, and he joins us now. Hey, Stanky, how you doing this morning?
Hello, boys. I'm doing well. How you guys?
Good.
We're good. I love that voice. The voice is radio voice now. This is really good.
It must be his coffee voice. Did you have coffee this morning there, Paul?
I did. I had some coffee. I just had a nice egg and cheese on sourdough. I feel good. It's just nice. It's nice to sit in a chair in the morning and turn on the TV and see the azaleas and sunshine in there at Augusta and see some familiar faces. I'm looking at Bubba Watson, man. I haven't seen Bubba Watson hit a golf ball in a long time.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Where's he been?
He's live tour, but he was hurt a little bit. Missed some in the last year as well.
Live tour. Yeah, I remember that.
But he's also not playing that well on Live, so you don't see a lot of highlights.
There are 10 Live Tour players playing in this Masters, the way.
Yeah. That's right.
That's great. 10 out of what, the 80?
Yeah.
How many do we know what our field size is? 80-something? That's good. Well, I'm glad to see some of those guys competing against the best players in the world.
And remember, Brooks Koepka, political announcement brought to you by Paul Stankowski.
Was that bad?
Are we getting paid by the PGA Tour here or something? Wow.
Yeah, the golf carts are going through the streets of Hormuz now.
I'll tell you what, time will tell. And you know, cream rises to the top. And if these Live guys, you know, now we start seeing them again on TV and in pants, and maybe they'll jump right back to the top of the leaderboard and be the best players in the world. But we don't know because they've been kind of out of sight, out of mind for a while. So
anyway. A little bit, but you have to remember that Bryson, you know, played in the final round with Rory last year and did not.
He is obviously one of the top dogs. There's no question about it.
Yeah. And by the way, here's a little tidbit. I don't know if you guys know this or not. He's playing with a self-made 5-iron. You guys see that?
It's a what are the 3D printer. Laser 3D printer did it. He made it himself.
His own 5-iron that he said he's going to break out in this tournament. And I don't know when he'll hit it or what it will mean. But
has the USGA looked at that?
Well, I'm sure before we put it in the bag, yes, you're not going to.
You would think
it'd be a little bit naive to just play it. I don't know what it looks like, and I don't know if it looks different than I don't know. But that's what he's trying to do.
Does he have that printer in his office? I mean, I'm blown away at the old 3D printing things. Like they're building houses with 3D printers. Yes. And my brain, because I haven't seen one, I'm thinking of the printer in my office.
It's like an IBM paper out. Like,
it says HP on the front.
How does a house come out of a computer? I know, but it's pretty wild. I don't know. I'm pretty naive.
I've seen one work, and it's crazy. It's crazy how it builds from the bottom up.
Yes.
It's just nuts.
I think it's awesome.
The 3D part of it.
It's pretty cool.
It makes it three-dimensional, but it does sound – because when I couldn't get my head around it. Because I'm like you, Paul. I'm like, okay, how does that come out of a printer? What are you talking about?
It's really not a printer. It's a fabricator.
It's really not a printer. It's just the machine is fabricated, and it's computerized so that instead of laborers, you and me, putting something together, a machine just goes zoop, 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 back and forth, and it puts up your walls of your house, or it makes apparently a 5-iron. And so that's what
it's pretty cool.
Tinkering with now, yeah.
Can you plug in a golf swing?
A lot of guys are building their own stuff. I mean, obviously not in their garage, but I mean, they're changing grips, they're bending. Sure. Yeah. You know, Steve Fless is in the trailer every week on our tour, and he's like one of the equipment guys. Like I know how to change a grip, but he's bending clubs and building stuff. And
some guys are really into
it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I love it. And I'm 56 years old. And I barely found out how to change a grip. I still can't even check my lies and lofts on that machine. I wish I'd learned.
You know, I have a question. You brought that up. When I'm watching all you guys, you pros out there, and I'm watching your wedges and how you set up to it, and every wedge looks like, if you look at it down the line shot, when I see you guys set up to it, that club is bent down, the head's bent down, so it's basically flat on the ground, more so than any of the clubs that most people play. Is that just because you bent them to exactly how you want the lie?
Well, every club is bent to the player's spec, right?
Right.
They're not coming off of the rack and then we just put them right in play. You know, we might buy them off the rack and then we take them to the truck and then we check the lies and lofts. And personally, I want my 60 degree and my 54 for that matter, if I'm going to use it around the greens, to be a little flatter. Okay. I don't want that heel grabbing when I'm, I try to hit a lot of flop shots and such, and I don't want the heel grabbing at all. So, I don't know what other players do, and I've never really looked that closely, but I can't imagine too many guys lining up a shot and the toe is way up in the air. They should sit fairly flush. You have a little bit of I don't know what you would call it, from the grip down to the head as you're coming into impact, the shaft bows not only backwards, but down as well. So, if the toe's up a little bit at address by the time it gets, in swing with the weight, the centripetal force, whatever, all the scientific forces of the head, the toe's going to come down a little bit more. So I think most guys might have it a little bit up, but wedges, for me, I've always wanted it a little bit flatter.
Yeah, okay. That answers that.
Hey, Paul, when you were talking before you came on about the historic 97 Masters that everybody remembers with Tiger, the real aficionados remember it was Paul Stankowski's tournament to win. And if he had just made about 15 more birdies, it was
behind Tiger.
Hey,
I made a comment Saturday night to the media there. And I said, they said something about, can anybody catch him? And I said, well, if somebody gets off to a hot start and birdies five or six of the first two or three holes, maybe. And the guy looked at me puzzled and I'm like, yeah, I know that means no.
How many had you played by 97? Was that, how many Masters had you been?
That was my second. Okay. Yeah. I played 96 was my first. Yeah.
Okay. And so,
and I played three and that year I actually in 97, I played with Watson on Saturday here in the second to last group, or third to last group on Saturday. He was talking about how great it is that, it's one thing winning there means you get to come back every April. And
right.
And I thought, yeah, that's cool. That was my second year in a row. And then, with a good finish that year, I got in 98. I'm thinking this is going to be great. I'm going to play this thing forever. And that was the last time I played it.
So tell us about the 97 Tiger Young, 21 years old, still the youngest Masters winner. It starts out with a 40, right? Opens on a front nine with a 40. And what were the thoughts of you and other pros keeping up? And obviously you knew that the hype around Tiger coming in of, okay, here he comes. Let's see what this guy's all about. Shoots a 40. Did you guys kind of go, oh, we're in trouble now? Or did you go, you know what? Maybe it's too much hype. Maybe this guy isn't as great as everybody thinks he is. Cause it kind of shocked a lot of people that he was, what's a 40? Is that four over? I guess four over, right? I mean, that he started that way and then finished the way he did. But what did you think after the front nine?
Yeah. Well, funny enough, I played right in front of him that day. And so making the turn, I chuckled to myself walking off a 10. I'm like, nice playing, kid.
Start balling.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. He was four over the first nine and, 22 under the last 63. Put that in your thinking cap. Yeah. 22 under in 63 holes. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I did my math correctly, that's a birdie every three holes, right? That's pretty impressive.
You guys kind of pissed him off, I think.
I just literally under my breath walking off the tee, I kind of just giggled to myself like, all right. And I think I, at the time I probably was one or two under par and I think I shot, I forget what I shot the first day, that year, 70, 69. So that was a year that John Houston holed it from the right trees on 18. He was over in 10, the rough,
right.
And hit it over the trees and made it for eagle to steal my low round of the day. So I was playing good. Tiger was 4 over. I thought, yeah, nice playing. And then
boom.
Yeah. He punched us all in the throat.
Hey, Paul, I want to ask you,
tractor,
you know, if you can recall this, they're talking about 12 to 15 sustained winds out of the north northeast with 25 mile per hour plus gusts. That blows. That's the worst wind you can get on that golf course, is it not?
Well, I like the sustained. That means consistent.
Yeah. Right.
Consistent winds don't necessarily affect players as much as that, you know, when the wind's swirling. But it does swirl there. I mean, consistent, you know, sustained might be up above the canopy of the trees, but as we all know, the wind there usually doesn't blow out of a certain direction. It blows either clockwise or counterclockwise, and you never know. It changes whenever it wants. That's tough. The golf course is firm and fast, and with wind, that's the thing. You could play a course if it's receptive in the wind and be fine. You could play a golf course if it's firm and there's no wind and be okay. But when you add firmness and wind, especially the swirling winds at Augusta, it's going to make for a difficult golf course.
We're talking with Paul Sankowski, PGA Tour Champions member, and about his history going back a couple of years to when he played at Augusta National and played in the Masters and did extremely well in his second Masters back in 97. I guess since we're talking Tiger, Paul, got to get your opinion about this. What are you thinking about what's going on now? Is he done? It's kind of like that comes back every now and then, and certainly nobody has a crystal ball, but the latest incident and the fact he's not even there, which has got to be heartbreaking for him not to at least be on the grounds at Augusta during all this. Anyway, what's that all make you think about?
I mean, it makes me sad. Tiger, one, he's been a fixture here at Augusta for a long time, obviously since the 97. But just in golf in general, I mean, I honestly hope he gets things, hope he gets right. You know, obviously he's in a lot of pain and, we don't know exactly what was going on there. I think we all watched the videos and, my heart just breaks for him. It's not that, you know, I mean, it's just because I'm like, golly, we want him to play on the Champions Tour. I'm super excited about him coming out and playing in some tournaments. And I think he just talked about the day before that, I believe he said he was going to commit to the U.S. Senior Open at Scioto. We're all hoping that he comes out and plays. But right now, golf aside, we're all hoping he gets the help he needs and whatever that is and gets his body back in shape and just gets clear. Once that happens, it'd be awesome to get to see him compete again on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think what everybody's hoping for, and we'll
certainly
see
that way.
When we're going to see him again. It's up in the air, but we'll see. And everybody, I think, is like you, is just hoping that he gets to the right space and everything. Back to the golf tournament itself, we're talking about the greens, and Frank's talking about the winds, and there will be no rain, they say, so the winds can continue to dry out. They have the underground system there, so, and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
They can pretty much almost make the course whatever they want it to be. Did you find it, Paul, as opposed to all these other courses that you've played around the world, around the country, is Augusta National, the greens, which everybody kind of sees as a difference maker for a lot of people, are they unique in any kind of way other than that they're faster, that there's more subtle rolls into them? Why are the greens the thing that everybody kind of brings up as, if you don't putt well at Augusta, you're never going to win?
Well, it's a little bit all of the above. It's not that they're faster. We putt on greens that might be faster than Augusta, but the combination of the speed that they get them at, the firmness they get them at, the fact that they dry out in the afternoons. And the undulation on the greens is what I think blows people away the most when they finally show up to Augusta to watch the tournament or to play Augusta, if you will.
As opposed to seeing it on TV.
Just how, Yeah, because TV now with high def and 4K and all that, you know, whatever, 3D, and you can see I'm watching a shot from somebody just hit the shot into the green right now, and it almost stopped. This is where they at. This is six. It was almost up to that top right hole location, and it went all the way down. It's 3 feet off the front left part of the green or on the green. So there's so much slope out there, and it's the ridges are wild and crazy, and if you put it in the wrong part of the green complex, it can be virtually impossible. And that's the thing that that you don't realize. And then some of the greens are really big, but they're not big, you know, relative, because of all the slope. And like that first green is diabolical. It's a tiny little green. It's hard to get to some pins, all the little, where the pin placements are on these little shelves. You just can't believe how small they are. So the combination of the firmness, you get a little wind in the afternoon, especially when it's warm. Masters week, when the greens can get a little bit crusty. Thankfully, you can tap down spike marks nowadays in golf, so it makes, you know, those 3 footers maybe a little less diabolical. You don't have big old Christmas trees in your way, and guys wearing 9-inch nails, and so
dragging their feet.
They'll make you look silly, and when you're off, but the control of the golf ball into the greens and can put the ball in the proper part of the green, they're going to have a better opportunity to you know, hole a putt or two putt, avoid the big mistakes. But the sub air and the hydronics and all the, you know, air conditioning of the greens, we're seeing that more and more in golf. You know, Augusta National is not the only golf course to have that. It may be the only golf course to have tunnels under the golf course that you can bring the food out to.
Drive a truck
through.
It's
pretty amazing. It's amazing.
The whole world down there.
But the green complexes, you know, when you have a forecast like they have right now, sunshine, a little bit of breeze, no rain, it is in the hands of the superintendent and the greens committee, because they can do whatever they want to this golf course. They can make it as hard as possible. Right. When you deal with the rains that we get every now and then, you know, in the springtime here in the South, you're at the mercy. And even with sub air and stuff, if the golf course just gets a little bit soft, the guys are going to lick their chops and see the scoring go down. But when it's firm and fast and they can suck every ounce of moisture out of the grass, and it makes getting onto the right plateaus that much more difficult, that's when, you know, I think a lot of the spectators, patrons, viewers on TV from home love it, because it's watching the guys pull their hair out. I mean, I think you got guys that literally enter the week with no gray hair, and then when the week's done, their beard is gray. You're like, what just happened? Because that's what Augusta will do to you.
Moses, after he came down from the mountain, right?
Yeah. It's like you go into a black hole in Augusta, and suddenly you age twice as fast. Oh. Yeah, it's kind of unique. Hey, do you think, and again, we're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, and played in the Masters back in the 90s, and very familiar with it. Watches it, I'm sure, like everybody else. You find yourself a fan now, don't you, Paul? I mean, you watch this. I said earlier about 90%, I think, is the latest poll I saw. 90% of tour players say this is the tournament they'd all want to win over everything else, including other majors. Would that be accurate? Do you agree with that? Would this be the one tournament, if you ever had a chance to win, this would be the one?
For me, it was as a kid. You know, this was the one event. And I think mainly because it was at the same venue every year, right? And U.S. Open bounced around. And obviously, to win a major championship on the PGA Tour was a goal. But Augusta, you know, when I was a kid, all you saw were, you know, holes, really the back nine. And then all of a sudden, really, they started showing eight. And then it was showing from six. And now, you know, you're watching everything from the start. And it's cool. You know, my first time playing there, I was like, okay, this is number one. Okay, cool. I heard about this, you know, number two. Wow, this is a really big downslope here too from that bunker, so it's nowadays, guys, you know, you study it, right? And I'm sitting here in my chair, literally 3 feet in front of my TV, watching as I'm talking to you guys, and this is the Masters channel, and it's 4, 5, and 6. So I love it. I do this for the British Open as well. I'll get up early in the morning and watch that. I'm a golf watcher, But you know, I may or may not have my master's hat on right now. I don't know.
I may or may not be wearing my tidy whiteys from Augusta.
Yeah, you know, you said the only course that's the only major that's played on the same course every year outside of the Players' Championship now. That's it. It's the Masters and then the Players' Championship. But that's it. Everything else bounces around.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. Well, yes, you're right. And the Players, you know, that debate, is it a major, is it not? Well, it's right, the best field of the year. So it's a pretty darn good tournament to win. But it ain't the Masters.
No, it ain't. And they don't charge $1.50 for a sandwich at Ponte.
Oh, my word. Oh, no. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
They charge $150. It's crazy cool. Move the decimal point a little bit. $150 for a sandwich.
One of these years, I don't have the opportunity to be in Augusta. I'm not there. What I want to do is order in that package that they sell. That's the Taste of Augusta, they send you the
pimento cheese and everything.
Pimento cheese, the egg salad.
Oh, really?
It's all Masters packaged. Everything. It's from the Masters. For real. You got to check that out.
How do they get the peach ice cream sandwich stay cold?
Well, probably just it's in styrofoam ice cooler. Yeah, cooler. Yeah,
I don't know that is in there, but the staple.
But it's really good.
Wow. Yes, it is.
And all things phenomenal. Like $15 probably, right, Frank?
Yeah, I know. I love that you could take a $20 bill with you. Well, they don't take cash, but you can for $20, you can eat all day long and be full. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
And you can also go in the pro shop and get reasonable. It's going up?
It's still reasonable. I mean,
okay, well, that's what I'm saying. You go to U.S. Opens and other things, it's
but if you can get in the pro shop, I mean, yesterday was an hour and a half in line.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So there you go.
I go underground. I go underground to it.
You got the little catacomb pass. Yes,
right. Yeah. Hijack the supply truck. Is that what you're saying?
I come up through the hatch.
You know, I remember the first time. So I've been as a spectator, a patron. I've been as a patron twice. I went in 14 with my son on Sunday and in 19. No, when did Tiger win? Is that 19? Yeah, 19.
19, yeah. Yeah.
Went that week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Pretty darn cool. But I remember the first time I'm like, I need some food. And I went, there's like 100 people in line. And I'm like, all right. And like 5 minutes later, I was walking out with all my food. I was like, what just happened? Yeah. They are so efficient. It's the most unbelievable. I wish every grocery store was
there. There you go. Hallelujah.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they do it.
Service is everything. Impressive.
Well, the grocery stores, you just hit my pet peeve. They have 20 checkout stations and they have two people. Yeah, or three, Matt. Drives me crazy. I started drinking a beer the other day in line. Honest to God.
Ooh.
I just popped a cold Budweiser right there and drank it.
Good for you, Frank.
I did.
That's the way you do it in the South.
That's right, by golly.
You're carrying a beer into the store with you.
Well, no, I was checking out buying Budweiser in bottles.
Was it a warm beer, Frank? Was it warm?
No, it was cold out of the cooler. Of course not. And I did. I just said, well, hell, I'm going to be here an hour. I'll just drink a beer. They didn't like that. They told me I couldn't do that anymore.
Well, we're going to – one last question, Paul, because we all got to get back to watching a little bit of golf here. And we'll be back. I think we might even have a show tomorrow.
We're going to do a bunch of shows from Augusta. Yeah.
More what's going on about it with this day. We're joined by Paul Stankowski. Scotty is, of course, the big favorite for everybody. Everybody's pool is probably going to have Scotty in it, even if it takes up all the money you can spend on your pool. Scotty's a guy. Is your humble opinion, is that pretty accurate? Is Scotty still, because he's been struggling a bit, he certainly hasn't been the red-hot Scotty of past. He's number one for the fifth year in a row. Only guy ever to do that going into a Masters, Tiger. And there's a lot of comparisons. But how are you feeling about Scotty this week?
It's hard to pick against, that's for sure. But that being said, there's a lot of great players, man. And there's a lot of guys that have a chance to win this thing. He is, I do have him in one of my pools. So it's hard to bet against him. Now, I think everybody's eager to see how he plays today because this year he hasn't started off very well in round one of many of the tournaments. So, you know, if he gets off to a good start, it's going to be hard to beat. But that being said, if he doesn't get off to a good start but still shoots about even par, he's still going to be hard to beat. So Tiger didn't play very well on Thursdays in his career either. But Friday and Saturday were pedal down, and that's where he blew by everybody.
Yeah, an interesting stat. Six of the last seven Masters have been won by players who were ranked number one in the world golf rankings.
Yes.
Either before or since their victory.
Right.
So Tiger, Dustin, Scotty, John Rahm.
Rory.
Yeah.
Scotty.
Well, that usually happens. Usually there's a reason those players are ranked number one, because they're better than everybody. So if you're better than everybody, you have a better chance to win. I study up on these things.
Yeah. Well, you live it, you play it. Yeah. So, when is your next event?
But right now, Jose Maria Olazabal is winning the Masters.
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, just give him the trophy.
Right now. Game over. Call it. So, Paul, when's your next event?
Next week, we have our senior PGA at the Great Concession Golf Club in Bradenton,
Florida.
So, so my son and I will be on the jet Sunday, heading over there and kind of getting started. We've had 2 weeks off and it's been a nice 2 week break. But I'm looking forward to getting back to work. We got a four week tournament stretch with the PGA. We go over to Atlanta for, the Mitsubishi, which is a Stableford scoring system event this year. So that'll be fun. A little different scoring, kind of like we used to do at Castle Pines 100 years ago. And then we go to the regions in Birmingham, Alabama, Roll Tide, for our second major of the year. And then over to Houston for the Insperity. So this 4 week stretch is going to be good. A lot of golf, a couple 4 day tournaments, which, you know, us old guys, we're not used to the 4 dayers. A lot of walking. Looking forward to getting going.
Good. Well, good luck to you. And we'll catch up with you at one of those tournaments. So
perfect. Definitely.
Sounds
definitely
good.
Yeah, we'll get out there and be outside the ropes, heckling, and no, we'll be cheering you on, buddy. For sure.
Yeah, we're just kidding. We'll be inside the ropes heckling.
Well, that we heckling, do have inside the ropes
exactly.
Badges. Yeah, that's right.
Who are the media guys getting on St. Gowski? All right, Paul, continued success on the Champions
Absolutely.
Tour, and have a good day today in your flat out from head to toe Masters garb that I know you're wearing right now, your flip-flops and everything, and enjoy the day.
Thanks, guys. You guys too.
Right. Thanks,
always
buddy.
Love being on with
Take
you.
Take care.
We appreciate it very much. Take care of yourself. Right.
Go Masters.
There he goes.
Go Masters.
All right. There he is.
There you go.
Paul Sankowski. Hey, checking leaderboard, Frank, by the way. Patrick Reed, Eagles, number two.
What?
Birdies, number one.
I got to get out of the studio and get out there and see some golf.
He is 3 under after 2 holes. And I think if he keeps this up, Frank, he's going to finish 18 under today. So it could be a historic
I'll take that for 1,000, Jim.
I think you could keep it up.
Or Alex, way, or whatever that was.
My money is on Carlos Ortiz, who is now 7 over.
Oh, poor
But
guy.
He's maintaining that. He's at the ninth hole now, because he was 7 over after 6. Uh-huh. Now he's 7 over after 9. So it's like he's getting some pars. It's got to be disheartening, Frank, to watch. I mean, if you're playing, it's disheartening to watch. But if you're playing, and if you're at the Masters, you're a good player. Obviously, you're a great player. And to see you go, you know, start with bogey, bogey, double bogey, bogey, you're almost saying to yourself, literally, like on the seventh or eighth hole, I'm freaking out of this tournament already. Like, I'm packing my bags. You got to think, how do I overcome 7 over? Because the cut will, you know, usually maybe 1 or 2 over, maybe at best. It's just got to be so disheartening to play that badly after all the prep you put into it. It's like you just got to tell you, I should have just showed up this morning on the tee box.
Yeah.
I still would be 7 over.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should run out to the turn and hand him a cold beer.
Oh, the only guy worse right now is Potgieter. And Potgieter opened with double bogey and now finds himself 8 over after 8.
That's no fun.
He's had two straight double bogeys. So, yeah, it's just like, man,
it's a dead giveaway when your parents send you a text there at the airport.
Yeah.
See you next tournament.
Yeah, I'll pick you up Friday. Keegan Bradley, bad start. Keegan Bradley just got a bogey. He's two over through four holes.
Well, that's not a bad start.
I said I was going to tell you a story, and I forgot with Paul here, and I'll say it very quickly.
Okay.
Guy's name is Brandon Holtz. Remember he asked
yes,
me,
Brandon
Holtz, related to Lou Holtz.
Right.
So my son told me about him. He said, hey, I go, no, I don't really know, you know, who this guy is. He said, he's playing in the Masters. Well, my son went to Illinois State. This guy went to Illinois State, Brandon Holtz, on a baseball scholarship and really only started playing golf in the last 8 or 9 years, which is surprising because he's, you know, he's 30 years old or whatever he is.
Yeah.
And they went to the same school and he didn't even play golf. I mean, it was kind of, he's a baseball and athletic guy, and he gets there because he won the U.S. Mid-Am at Troon. And so he's earned his way. The Masters obviously loves amateurs, right? And so he's out there, he's playing. He's not doing extremely well. He's three over, I believe. But anyway, that's an interesting story. A guy played baseball in college and never even picked up golf and then thought, baseball's not really working out. I think maybe I'll try this golf thing. There he is.
Interesting.
At Augusta. I love that. I love that they like the amateurs, right? They let them sleep up in the crow's nest and everything.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's kind of neat.
They have more amateurs this year than they do spaces in the crow's nest by one. So it's probably him, and they put him up somewhere else. He's sleeping on the couch in Butler Cabin.
Yeah, he's sleeping. I'm sure they took care of him somewhere.
I'm sure they did. All right, anyway, buddy. Well, I'm going to go watch some golf and have some fun. And it's a special
week. Get out
there
and watch it.
Yeah, man.
We'll enjoy it.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal, and it's so much fun. And streaming, they got now Prime is going to pick up a little bit of the early rounds, and then CBS picks up later and over the weekend. Yeah. So it's kind of all over. And the best place for people who are listening, go to get the app, go to masters.com.
Oh,
and
you can fabulous watch, app. That's a fabulous
live
app.
Live streaming. Yeah. If anybody's going to do it right, they are.
Well,
it's almost like
IBM.
Nothing is wrong.
That's IBM, buddy.
Yeah.
That's the greatness of that three-letter company. They do it, and they do it right, and the Masters always partners with the best of the best. They always do.
It is sweet. So there you go. Enjoy it. We got some music we're going to play here, Frankie.
I don't know. Are we?
I don't know. You normally.
I think so. There you go.
You got a little something for me here. Hey, we didn't mention it, but I'm going to mention it now, that if you're looking for a club to join, like Frank and I, then Invited Clubs has the perfect place for you. Just go to their website, invitedclubs.com, and find a club near you. Kick the tires a little bit, but you're going to love it. You're going to love everything they do, and they keep their facilities, and their upkeep is amazing. Pickleball courts, golf course, everything. It's impeccable. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. Founded back in 1957, invitedclubs.com. They're the best.
Absolutely. And PXG is our sponsor at Augusta. So thank you, PXG, and we'll talk more about PXG.com a little later in the week.
There we go. All right. So we enjoyed it. For Paul Stankowski, thank you, Paul, for joining us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for everybody out there listening to us. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.